Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiowitz, and today we'll be studying Shoftim, Perek Dalet, Chapter 4. This is an exciting week, especially for a podcast like Torah Imecha, because we'll meet two female heroines, Devorah and Yael, and we will open up the conversation about what we can learn from these women. Today we'll talk more about Devorah, and then in our podcast on Shoftim, Perek Hey, Chapter 5, we'll talk more about Yael. So I want to open up with Devorah, who is unusual in more than one way. When we meet her, we're told, Devorah Isha Nivia, Eshet Lapidot, He Shefta Israel Ba'ed Hahi. So there's a lot of things about Devorah that are unusual. She's an Isha, she's a woman, she's a Nivia, she has actual prophecy. Prior to this, we saw Ruach Hashem, the Spirit of God, but this seems to be something different. And even perhaps most distinctly, she is a shofetet. She judged the Jewish people at that time. Now, this is unusual on two accounts, because we use the word judges when we speak about the period of the Shoftim, but they really weren't judges in the classic way that we think about judging. They were charismatic leaders who jumped up to help, to save as military leaders during a crisis. But Devorah actually was doing what we usually associate with judging. She was leading the people, figuring out how to help them through struggles that they were going through. So she actually was a judge in the classic sense of how we use it. Also, Devorah is already leading when she steps in to deal with this crisis. We read about her, V'hi yoshevet tachat tomer Devorah, bein harama u'bein beit el bahar Ephraim, v'yalu ala b'nei Yisrael l'mishpat. She would sit under a tree, tomer Devorah, and it was on Har Ephraim, and people would come up to her from b'nei Yisrael for judgments. So in a way, Devorah really is an ideal in the sense that she's already acting as a leader, and she presumably has the trust of the people based on what she's already done and her strength of character. Now, the fact that Devorah is a woman is not a side point either, and it's not only because it sets her up as a role model, but it's also because it becomes an important theme in the story. Now, B'nai Israel at this time are confronted by a very intense enemy. After Ehud died, B'nai Israel did once again bad in the eyes of God, and as a result, they fall into the hands of the Canaanim, the Canaanites. We have a very strong pasuk about the subjugation that they suffered at the hands of the Canaanite. Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael al Hashem. B'nei Yisrael cried out to Hashem. Ki tesha me'ot rechav barzel bo. B'hu lachatz et b'nei Yisrael b'chazaka esrim shana. So they cried out to God because of all the subjugation and their fear of the Canaanites, that they had 900 iron chariots, and also because they were pressured and suppressed under this hand, on the hand of the Canaanites for 20 years. And the language here is reminiscent of Egypt, and that's not a coincidence. It's comparing the subjugation, the terror, the army of Egypt, the strength of Egypt, to the strength of the Canaanites at that time. So using words like Rechav Barzel, iron chariots, or the word lachatz, the pressure that they were under, the oppression that they were under, and also their reaction, crying out to God, which is also words that we see in the beginning of Sefer Shmot, brings up to us the intensity of what they were suffering at that time. Now, Devorah reacts to this by calling on Barak and saying to him, Hashem commanded you to gather 10,000 men from the tribes of Zvulun and Naphtali, bring them to the mountain of Tavor, and it's from there you'll wage war against the Canaanites. Now, Sisera, the general, is going to gather his people to Nachal Kishon, the valley at the bottom of the mountain, and then Hashem will put them into your hands. And the number 10,000, again, seems very specific. It sounds like it really needs to be clear that this war will be won by the few against the many, and then the win will be miraculously seen as to be the hand of God. Now, Barak has a strange response. He says, Im telchi imi v'halachti, Ve'im lo telchi imi lo eleich. So Devorah, if you come with me, I will go. But if you don't come with me, I won't go. And so clearly Barak feels that it is necessary for Devorah to be there, or perhaps he feels dependent on her, and he doesn't want to wage a war without her presence with him. Now Devorah responds in a very strong way to Barak and to his request. She says, Haloch eleichimach. Yes, okay, Barak, I will go with you. Efes, ki lo tia tefartecha al haderach asher atahulech. But your glory will not be on the path that you go. Ki biyad isha im kor Hashem et Sisra. God will sell or give over the Sisra, the general of Canaan, through the hands of a woman, meaning presumably you, Barak, who I was appointing to lead the war, are not the one who's going to end up executing the victory. So Devorah agrees to, despite her pushback, Devorah agrees to Barak's request. They both ascend the mountain along with the soldiers. As Devorah predicted, Sisra and his warriors the Canaanites gather at the valley, at the foot of the mountain. Through the hand of God, really, the camp of Sisra ends up running away. We'll talk a little bit more about that next in our next podcast. They all flee, and Barak and his soldiers go and chase them and overpower them. Now, the story at this point zooms in to focus on Sisra, the Canaanite general, who is on the run. He runs to the tent of Yael, who comes from Yael HaKeni, which is a tribe, the Keni tribe, descendants of Yitro originally, are neutral. And they're Sisra expects that he can find protection there because they're not on the side of Bnei Israel. They're also not on the side of the Canaanim. They're a neutral force. They're Switzerland over here. So he runs to Yael's tent. Yael calls in Sisra, welcomes him, and ultimately she tricks him into trusting her enough to fall asleep before taking her tent peg and driving the peg into his head. It is only then that Barak comes, v'hinei Barak rodef et Sisra, batetza Ya'el likrato. So he comes, he's chasing after Sisra, Ya'el comes out to greet him, v'tomer lo, she says to him, leich v'ar'eh ta'ish asher atah mevakesh, come see the man that you're looking for, v'yavo eleha v'hinei Sisra nofel meit. So he comes and he sees that Sisra is there and he's dead and the tent peg is in his head. And now we understand Devorah's prophecy, which we previously thought when she said that the Canaanim would fall through the hands of a woman, that Sisra would fall through the hands of the woman. She perhaps was not referring to herself, or maybe in addition to herself, she was also referring to Ya'el. Now, whenever I read this story, I wonder, did Barak actually do something wrong, right? When he told Devorah, I'll only go to war if you come with me, was there a mistake in that request, right? It certainly seems like from Devorah's response that it is, right? She responds to him by, it sounds like a threat, but is even the victory at the hands of the woman a punishment to him? Is it a way of humiliating him? Is it something else? And who is really right here? Devorah or Barak? By the way, just an aside, Chazal say that Devorah and Barak were actually husband and wife. So it just adds another dimension to the story. Like, is their conversation a professional, religious one in nature? Is there also a personal relationship? We don't know, but it certainly can be an added layer to this story. Now, Devorah is definitely upset, and we know that her prediction comes true. But yet, the psukim themselves, the text itself, doesn't tell us. It doesn't tell us who's right, Devorah or Barak, right? And I think there are legitimate ways to see this from both sides of the story, right? Like maybe what the difference of opinion between Devorah and Barak is whether it would be a bigger Kiddush Hashem, a sanctification of God's name, if Devorah was there or not. If Devorah was there, maybe it would be more of an open miracle. but people would connect it to Devorah, the Neviah. Or maybe Devorah wanted it to be more natural. People are transitioning to going into Israel. So part of their debate may have been, what does God want here? Another element could have been, what's actually better for the people? And Abarbanel actually says, comments about Barak's request that why did he want Devorah to come with him? Because he knew that she would be the one to give the people chizuk. They would be strengthened by seeing her there. They know her. They have a connection to her. She's this inspirational religious figure. And if they see her, then they would believe, they would have the emunah to know that this is going to happen and that Barak isn't just doing this randomly. It's not coming from nowhere. It's actually coming from a plan, a godly plan, and Devorah would symbolize this. And by the way, there's a precedent for this in the sense of the war with Amalek back in Sefer Shemot, when the Jews first left Egypt. Right, Yoshua is the military leader, and that could be a parallel position to the role that Barak is playing here. And Moshe, on the other hand, right, stood on top of the mountain with his mateh, with his staff. He raised his hand, and Rashbam interprets that as he's an encouragement for the people. The people see him, and either it encourages them, almost like a mascot, like, we got this, we can do this. It's Moshe, their leader. Or perhaps religiously even, he points his hands to Shammayim, pointing them towards God. So perhaps Barak is thinking, Devorah, if you come with me, that makes more sense for what the people need, what they need for their morale, what they need for their spiritual direction. And Devorah somehow felt like, no, I don't need to be there. My goal is to put this into play, but you're the one who needs to carry this to fruition without me. Perhaps also Devorah felt that war was not the place that she wanted to be. Perhaps as a woman, she saw Barak's role as the one who needed to lead the people in war. And she saw herself as her role as a woman, despite being the leader and the judge, not as someone who was going out to war. So there seems to be a real difference of opinion here between Devorah and Barak, but I don't necessarily interpret Barak's response as a sign of weakness. It could be, but I also think there's a lot of legitimacy behind what he's suggesting. And again, Devorah also has legitimacy on her side. So there's a give and take there in the story that I think speaks to some of the bigger issues that are happening in Sefer Shoftim, questions about what do the people need? What does God want? What's the right type of leadership for the people of that time? And Devorah and Barak are debating real issues. Now, we learn a lot about leadership in this story. And certainly, although Barak does follow through on this army piece that Devorah told him to, and once she agrees to come with him, he is certainly very present. But Devorah really stands out as the strong leader in this story. And the truth is, one of the things we learn is that the best leaders or the most effective leaders are the ones who are already meeting the needs of the people. And again, that's perhaps why Barak felt that Devorah needed to be there. He was new coming on the scene, and Devorah was the one who had the trust of the people. Now, is it significant that Devorah in this story is a woman? Certainly, yes. It does seem to be a very dominant piece of it. And many, modern commentators, also even original Midrashim, write about this. For example, in the Midrash in the Tana Devei Elihu Rabbah, the Midrash says, we learn from the story of Devorah, who was an Isha Neviah, that, I'm actually going to read this in the original, in the Hebrew, that there were other people who could have done that role. Pinchas perhaps could have done that role. But the Midrash says, Me'id ani alai et ha-shamayim et ha-aretz, ben Yisrael, ben Akum, ben Ishu, ben Isha, ben Ebed, ben Shivcha, hakol lefi hamas, Yeshua said. That how are people judged? People are judged. It doesn't matter if somebody is a Jew or a non-Jew, a man or a woman, right, a slave or a free person. People are judged according to their deeds, and anybody can step into, it seems to be pointing to the fact that anybody can be a leader. It's based on their character that they are chosen for the role. But I think we still have to acknowledge that the dominant communal role that Devorah plays is unusual in Nevi'im and in Tanakh. And the period of the judges was a spiritual and political low for the Jewish nation. So it's not surprising that that led to a dearth of leadership. And it's interesting that it's into this moral and structural vacuum that someone like Devorah has the opportunity to step into. Not just that Devorah steps into this, she steps in and Hashem almost steps into her. And it reminds me of World War II, where the men were at war, and because of the holes in the labor force, women needed to expand their range of occupations. And maybe in spite of the impression that people were facing at the time of the show, of the judges, and not just in spite, because of the oppression that they were facing, someone like Devorah was able to step into an uncharted space. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat, Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.